access number 29540, Mr. Norman Cole, Real 2. We're just talking about your call-up, and you said off-tape that a lot of stress was laid on the fact you were a surveyor. They knew that, of course.
Yes, and that's why they called me up to a survey regiment in the Army, which made sense.
That was where you were eventually called up to go to. Now, so you were called up in February 1942.
Yes.
And where were you to go to?
I had to go to the School of Royal Artillery Survey, the School of Survey on the Salisbury Plain.
Was this the Royal Artillery then?
This was Artillery, School of Survey.
That's Lark Hill. Was it the School of Survey, or normally it's called the School of Artillery?
No, the School of Artillery was a separate thing. That was also in Lark Hill, but that was up the road from where we were. You had to come out of ours, go along the road and into a new entrance to get into the School of Artillery.
Now, how did you get there then?
Train to Wilton, and there was a truck to take us to the site, to the camp.
What was your reception like? Because, you know, you're arriving as a civilian, you've never been in the services, never done anything like that before. How did they sort of take you in when you first got there?
No, it was quite a relaxed, showed us around and started to issue us with uniform and the infamous rifle, of course.
Do you remember what they kitted you out with? What uniform did they give you, and what were your first impressions of it?
Well, I had ordinary battle dress, a tin helmet, a rifle. I think that was about it.
And what about your accommodation?
I think in my other notes I said Nissen huts, but in retrospect I think they were barrack huts of some other kind, but it was huts anyway. There was
What were they like?
Well, there was just two rows of beds, one on either side.
About how many? Roughly?
About 20, I should think, altogether.
So 10 on one side, 10 on the other.
Something like that, at least 10. And that was the other memory, incidentally. When I come back, what I thought of yesterday, I couldn't remember the day.
And was there it was February, was there heating in there?
Yes, it's one of these central wood burner things, you know.
Was there a junior NCO at the end in a small room, or, because normally there is, I just wonder.
I don't remember that. All I remember, there was a person allocated to be sort of the attendant. He was the person who did all the odd jobs there.
What, one of you? Or
no. He was sort of a low-grade, medically, person there permanently. He was like a steward to each hut.
Now, when you first got there, you seem to have been doing a fair amount of assessment, medical and knowledge, general knowledge. Well, the medical first. Was this more detailed then?
Yes, that was.
What
were
you looking for?
Well, of course, a large part of it was having needles stuck in you. They didn't test you for that, they just did it. You're having all sorts of inoculations and vaccinations.
So it wasn't so much you were having a medical, it was you were just getting your vaccinations.
You were just given it, yes.
Did you have any reaction, because some people react badly to them?
I didn't, but a man just in front of me, when he saw needles being stuck in, fell down, fell over a radiator, was taken away, we never saw him again.
And what about after effects? Because besides the needle, I mean the actual...
No, I had no after effects. And very good dental treatment. We were taking it, and there were, probably three dentists in chairs side by side. But they were very very attentive. I was really...
So what, were your teeth in bad state? I
mean, no.
Did they do most treatment for you? Or
a little bit of treatment, not much. I didn't need much. But it was done in a very careful way. I was quite impressed with them.
And the other thing is, you seem to have done a variety of general knowledge, mechanical intelligence tests. What's that?
Well, I think behind that was, of course, if you were injured in warfare, but you weren't totally incapacitated, to find out what you'd be capable of being transferred into. If you couldn't go back to your own unit, what would you be suitable for? You know.
Now, you did well in the mechanical ones, I believe.
Well, I said, you know, as a boy, I always loved mechano. And a lot of the questions they were asking me there, I'd solved them with mechano. It was everyday stuff to me. I came top in that, out of the whole troop.
So, then split into two divisions. Now, tell me about this. There's two types of...
Flash spotting and sound ranging.
Now, did you know the difference at the time? Or
yes.
So can you just give us an outline of the choice?
No, we didn't get a choice.
Oh, right. Sorry, give an outline of what the two things
are. Yes, we were told what they were.
So what are they? What are sound ranging and flash spotting?
Well, sound ranging, we get rid of that one first. That is where they set out on the ground a series of microphones at anything up to 200-300 yards or more apart. And then when a gun fires out in front of them, the sound will reach these microphones at slightly differing times because of the distance from the source of the gun firing. And by plotting that back mechanically in a headquarters, they could plot where that gun was firing from. That was sound ranging.
Now, so you were appointed to flash spotting.
Flash spotting.
So tell me exactly about... So you'd start... Did you start your training straight away on this, or were you given basic infantry training at the same time? Do you see what I mean?
We did minimal infantry training. That wasn't going to be part of it. We were technical people. A lot of training on the use of the binocular theodolites we had.
Right, let's go on to flash spotting training then. Tell me about, as much as you can, about all your training.
Well, you had to learn about all sorts of optical instruments, sound rangefinders, binoculars, binocular theodolites in effect. We had to sort of learn how these worked and how they were constructed so we could maintain them. We were taught to understand the grid system.
No, the thing with this is if you explain it as if I don't. Do you see what I mean? So
yeah.
Explain for them who are listening to it. Explain the grid system.
Well, the maps of the country by the Ordnance Survey people are dividing up into what is now 1 kilometre squares. Lines across the map left to right and lines across the map bottom to top. And by relating the one to the other, you could pinpoint where something was. It was sort of, say, just simply, it was 30 from the left and 10 from the bottom. Then you knew exactly where that was. And we were taught how to read these things from the maps to look at where we were exactly to within a metre. And where something we were going to identify was in front of us, we had to find a way of deciding where that was to within a few metres. Like if there was a church spire out ahead, we had to learn how to find out where that church spire was. And that would be rather like the sound rangers had their microphones set out. We would have these observation posts set out. And then by plotting the angles to that church spire from each of these different observation posts, back at headquarters again, they could say exactly where that church spire was. Of course, the objective was to be able to identify where guns were, not church spires.
And it also says you had to do a fair amount about advanced trigonometry. How do you do with that? Can you just explain that a bit?
Yeah, that's very, very almost impossible to explain now. But trigonometry, of course, is very much a part of surveying, land surveying. But what we had to do was to learn how to use the sun, the moon, the stars, and using the nautical almanac, which gives all information on those heavenly bodies, to use those in accurate timing relate the sort of the observation of the moon to what it says in the nautical almanac to the time on a watch. And by that means you can find it exactly where you are on the ground. Exactly means within probably 5 or 10 metres. But of course, when you're looking at the sky, it isn't a flat surface, it's a curved surface. So you had to learn how to work out the angles and so on that were coming back from observations into the firmament.
Well, that's clear to those who understand that stuff, I know, but that helps us a lot. Now, anything else you are learning? The two other things that are related are How much did you actually... You were working for artillery. That was what you were doing. This is what this is all about, isn't it? How much did you have to learn about gunnery, the science and techniques of gunnery and the guns? Or was that... I mean, I realise you didn't have to learn to fire them.
No, we did.
How much did you learn about gunnery?
Yeah, we did have to learn that. We had to learn about the trajectory of shells and things like that. We had to learn about the different types of artillery pieces. They don't call them guns, of course, in the artillery. We had to learn the different types there were and their ranges and things like that. We learned how their range finders worked, although we would never have to use them, but just the theory of it. It was learning about the other side, the military side, but also, of course, there's small arms. We also had to...
I'll come back to small arms. What about the other thing is how much signal training was involved?
Yeah, we had to learn Morse code, had to learn to use radios.
Now tell me, how did you learn the Morse code? Did you know it already? Or
no. Well, I'd learned it in a way in the Boys' Brigade, but I'd forgotten it. Had to relearn it.
How did they teach you? I mean, did they... Because, you know, there's many different levels of Morse code, depending on how many words per minute. What level were they teaching you, and what method were they?
Can't remember.
You don't remember?
No.
Did you do a lot of it?
No, not a lot.
What else?
Because we were going to have signalers. We weren't... It's only in emergency we would have to sort of fill in a bit.
So this is basic signal training.
Absolutely.
So a bit of Morse and a bit of how to use the wireless
system. Yeah.
Anything else you were learning in the technical side before we look at the small arms?
No, I don't think so. I can't think of anything. The calculating instruments, of course.
Well, tell me about that.
Oh, well, I've got one here. I'll show you one.
Because people now can only think of modern ones.
Yeah.
Could you explain what type of mechanic... This is
a mechanical
it's
one.
It's not electrical, is it?
No, this is mechanical.
Can you explain what a mechanical calculator was like? I know you've got one here and you can show me, but can you explain? Because they can't see it.
It's like a drum with numbers around it. And then you've got various scales you can slide around this drum. And by sort of putting, say, if you want to multiply 10 by 5, you put one scale to 10, put another scale to 5, and you would turn a handle to get an answer. You'd revolve the drum, and the drum would go through, picking up the points you put in, and would give you the answer what 10 times 5 is. So you were using that technical, mechanical calculator.
Now, were you actually given one of these, or did you have to buy it yourself?
I saw one in a shop in Hemel Hempstead, where I lived, and I went in and bought it.
Oh, so that's after the war. But did you have, you had one given to you in the army?
Yes, it was supplied. It was part of our equipment.
Now, you mentioned small arms, and let's just go back to that. So how much infantry training did you get? I mean, what about drill?
Yeah, we did drill.
How did you take to drill?
Oh, I didn't mind it. In fact, it wasn't very long before I was put in charge of a little squad, because I like the drill so much.
What did you like about it? Because some people don't like it, some people do. What did you like about it?
I think, I used the word before, didn't I? I'm very keen on discipline. And I think in sort of the marching drill and so on, and turning and saluting and that, you get to a precision, and part of being mechanically minded and materially minded, you know, things have got to be exactly right. Yeah.
And what about weapons training?
Yes. At that point, only rifle.
Tell me about your rifle training. How far did they take you with it?
Well, we used to regularly go to, can't remember the name there for a minute, but for the rifle ranges for... We were taught, first of all, theory, then we were taken out to the ranges and firing practice. That was about a 3 mile... Oh, can't hear the name of it.
Doesn't matter. They'll know. Near Lark Hill, anyway.
Yeah.
And how did you do a raft train? Because it's got quite a kick if you're not used to it.
I didn't mind it. I did all right. If you miss a target, they wave a flag, and I don't ever remember having a flag waved.
And that was all the infantry training you remember, as far as you're concerned, at that time?
Yes. It was being drilled into us that we were technical. You know, we weren't infantry.
Now, were there any other incidents that you remember or things that happened while you were at the School of Survey at Lark Hill?
Well, one thing sticks in my mind. In training, it was important for us to know the exact location of any one point. So you'd set up your observing instrument over that very point, absolutely exactly over a point which was marked in the ground in concrete. Now, that was known to the School of Survey. The exact position of that concrete blob was known in advance. They'd put them in, they knew where they were. And then you'd go out, perhaps half a dozen of you, and there'd be a half a dozen of these concrete blobs in a line with perhaps a 10-yard space between them or so. Then you weren't told what their position was, but you were told the location of perhaps, a church spire, a wind pump, edge of a copse or something. You were told what those locations were. And by observing those, you could work it back and say, right, the position where I am is, and you could give the exact map reference to where you were. So each of these posts in a line had a slightly different map reference because they weren't in the same spot. But they had more than one set of concrete blobs, a different part of the School of Survey grounds. And one fellow had all the answers right for the wrong set of blobs. So he'd obviously been given them by somebody. And the sergeant who'd given it to him and that fellow were dealt with militarily. I don't know exactly what happened to them, but they were taken out of the system.
There's another little story I've just noticed in your... I'm referring here to a memoir, and we hope that eventually a copy of these will be in our department of documents or something. But at the moment, there's a thing about... finding somewhere to level for a radar installation.
Well,
could you tell that story?
I didn't know it was radar.
Sorry, you guessed.
I assumed it was. What they said was there anybody could use a builder's level, a dumpy level, where you sort of...
A dumpy level.
A dumpy level, they're known as. That's where you can measure the rise and fall of ground. And they said they wanted to find a 100-yard square that had no variation in height. I think it was more than 1 foot. And they gave me a truck, a couple of the surveyor trainees, and the dumpy level. And I had freedom in Salisbury Plain, private or public land, to go and try and find this 100-yard square with this minimum chain. And we couldn't find it. Places looked absolutely level. When you measured it in detail, always there was one corner or something that went beyond that. And I understood at the time, and what they were going to do was lay out a sort of a netting of some sort that had to be absolutely flat on the ground, level on the ground. And I assumed that was something to do with radar development.
But you didn't know.
But I didn't know.
Now, another story is, can I ask you about PT before we go on to this boxing competition? How much PT were you doing, physical training of various sorts?
Yes, we did.
How much? What type of thing were you doing?
Well, general exercises, you know, with the equipment in the gymnasium, you're climbing ropes and the usual things you do in the gymnasium, all sorts of bending and lifting. And
did they send you on running much, cross-country runs?
Not very much, but I did some because I was had a friend there who was a long-distance runner for Blackheath Harriers in London. He was always going out for a run and always wanted me to go out with him, so I did sometimes to just keep fit.
Assault courses, any of them?
Yes, there was.
What was that like?
I'd forgotten them, yeah. You've just reminded me. Not easy, of course, not easy, but yes, we did do them.
Now, there's this story about a boxing match. Tell us that, because that sounds quite...
Well, they had our particular group in the gymnasium, they lined up two lines. We had to line up in two lines. And then they came along and gave everybody in each line a set of boxing gloves. and said, "Now we want you to box the person opposite to you." Well, the person opposite to me was a rather tall, lanky, gangling sort of bloke, and I'd done a minimal amount of boxing before I went in the army, and of course I had the right position. And after the swimming going on for a little while, he said, "Look, we want you and you and you and you and you to stay by. The rest can go." And I was one they picked out who presumably they thought had the ability to do some boxing. And then we were given some extra training and some extra food, in fact, and prepared us for this first tournament. That,
how did it go?
Well, as far as I went, it was all right. I mean, the young fellow before me, he was a heavier weight than me. He was absolutely battered and was commended for his sort of determination to go through to the end. I, in the dressing room, saw a young man opposite me with a broken nose. I asked him his name, and he turned out he was my opponent. So I thought, well, he's done plenty of this before, far more than I have. And I asked him, he said, "Yeah, I've done some." So we went in and we had three-minute rounds.
How'd you do?
I didn't have a single mark. He hardly had touched me at all. But I landed hardly at all on him. And in the end, there was quite a discussion, and they decided that they would award it to him. So I didn't win that one, but... It was cushy for me. It was no problem.
More unusual, a basketball game. Now, I'm quite surprised at that. That's it. What do you remember of that?
Not very much. It was absolutely minimal. In fact, I don't ever remember playing basketball in the gymnasium before I was picked out to go into this team that the brigadier wanted to run to take on somebody else. I suppose he had a personal challenge with somebody. I'm putting on a better team than you, and he got us to play, and the only thing I remember about it, we did play this game, and he gave us all 10 shillings afterwards.
10 shillings each?
Yeah.
That's a lot of money.
It was. So I'm a professional. So I maintain.
Now, any of this, how did you get on with the other lads? You know, because you used to building sites, the rest of it. What did you, were they from the same background as yourself, or what were they like, the other recruits or trainees, whatever you call them?
All the people who were going to be surveyors tended to be professional people, but not all were in surveying. There was a couple from banking, but I assume they took in the account the fact they would have the intelligence to learn.
So they were all much the same as yourself?
Yes, they were people with a level of mental ability, I suppose, to learn. Been pointless putting them in there.
So there's no bullying or anything like that?
Nothing like that.
What about your instructors and NCOs? What were they like? How did they treat you? What did you think of them?
Oh, they were very good. Very helpful. No, I had no problems with any of them.
There's a lot of shouting and that kind of stuff?
No. No, it was quite an educational setup. It really worked that way.
And did you see much of your officers, or was it mainly NCOs that dealt with you?
Mostly NCOs, but we did see the officers, yes. In fact, one, that mechanical calculator I talked about just now, in the first test they did it, I failed. And couldn't understand, because I knew this thing inside out. And there was an officer, he couldn't understand it either, and asked two of us to go and see him and say, "What's gone wrong, you know?" So we did it all with him there. He said, "I can't understand, do it again." So we took the test again, passed 100%. So whether I misunderstood something else being given or what, I don't know, because I certainly knew how to use it. So I was a close contact with an officer who made sure he wanted to help two of us very personally.
What about recreations? I mean, what would you do in your time off there? Was there anything to do? Quite out of the way.
Not a lot. Go to the Naffy.
What was the canteen like, the Naffy canteen? What was it like?
It was quite good. It was outside of the school of survey, actually. It was just on the side of the road.
What
it was just straightforward.
What did it offer? I mean, what did it have in there?
No clue. Can't remember.
No,
it was just an ordinary, straightforward, simple Naffy.
You didn't drink, did you?
No.
No. Were you teetotal then?
Yes.
Now, so what about what happened next? You're there. You're not sure how long you were there for.
Well, I can't. It was a set period, but I racked my brains. I can't remember. I can't remember now.
So what's your next posting then? You think it's 3 or 6 months, but you can't remember which is what it says in your memoir. So where okay. next then? It's still 1942, whichever it is.
Yeah, but then you have to start looking at this really, because the sequence of it is always
so
a
you
bit
went
vague.
To 9th Survey Regiment.
Oh yes, I was posted to the 9th Survey Regiment.
And what was that? Can you describe the composition of the 9th Survey Regiment? What was a survey regiment? People don't know now.
No, well, the survey regiment consisted of these flash spotters, which I've mentioned earlier on, and the sound rangers. It was just those two units within one survey regiment. You were either in one side of it or the other side of it.
Now, how many? Do you see what I mean? I mean, hundreds or... I mean, what size was the unit, roughly?
Oh, dear. I wouldn't think, not hundreds, whether it reached 100 or not, I wouldn't be sure. I mean, it might be around about that sort of
but
number.
But not a large.
Oh, no, they were small.
Anything like a normal regiment.
Oh, no, they were quite small, comparatively.
And what was your job when you got there? You went to Coxo, now that's in Durham, isn't it?
Yeah.
So what happened there?
Well, we did odd training. Most of the training there moved into other things, like sort of vehicle training and...
Well, tell us about the vehicle training. Could you drive already? Because you've been a cyclist and you've been driven about, but could you actually drive when you went to the army?
There's two answers to that. Because I was taken out by an instructor to teach me, and he said, well, you drive normally, don't you? I said, no, I don't drive, never driven. But because I'd travelled so much with drivers and having a mechanical mind... I knew what to do. So my vehicle training, as against motorcycle training, was absolutely minimal.
And what did you learn to drive there?
15 underweight trucks, most of all.
And you had no problem with a double declutching or anything?
No, it came natural.
I suppose you understood how it worked.
Yeah, it came natural.
So that's right. Did you learn your motorcycles there as well?
No, that was a bit later.
Okay. Now, one thing that you do mention while you were at Coxhoe, because you move about with this unit, don't you?
Yeah.
We'll get the sequence later, but I mean, you did what they call silent killing with Lieutenant Kubica.
Kubica, yeah.
Now, tell me about that, because why did you have to learn that?
Well, if you're going to be observing, you've got to be virtually in the front. You can't be at the back of the... fighting that's going on, you've got to be right up there with it, because although it's called flash spotting, you were doing general intelligence for the guns. You were looking for where troops were moving, where tanks were moving, where bombs were dropping. So you had to be right up the front. You were in the front line, and more than once I was in front of the front line. And because of that, it was known, because we had instruments in that and we'd have information with us, the idea was if a German accidentally came across where you were, you had to be eliminated. You had to eliminate him quickly, quietly, and silently. So you couldn't go back and report what he'd found.